Let's turn together now to the Word of God in Exodus 15, beginning with verse 22. Verses 23 through 26 are the verses that I'm going to be preaching on this morning. We're going to start with 15, verse 22, and read through chapter 16, verse 8. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. Marah means bitter. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them and said, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then said the Lord unto Moses, "Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily." Then Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, "At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us?" And Moses said, "This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord." That's as much of the Word of God as we read this morning. for the benefit of those who are visiting this morning. We've been going through some of the history that's recorded in the book of Exodus, and been doing that from the viewpoint that Israel's history is also our history. I've been emphasizing that because the Bible teaches us, you can look that up in Galatians chapter 3, the Bible teaches us that all who believe in Christ Jesus are the true children of Abraham, true Israelites. And if we, though Gentiles by birth, if we can number ourselves among those true Israelites, then Israel's history must also be our history. Been emphasizing that too from the viewpoint of what Stephen said in the sermon he preached before he was martyred, when he called the church in the wilderness, called Israel in the wilderness, the church in the wilderness. Once again, identifying these Israelites of whom we've read with ourselves and with the New Testament church. It's with that in mind that we turn this morning to the Word of God in Exodus 15, verses 23 through 26, which records Israel's stay at a place called Marah, their first encampment in the wilderness after escaping Egypt and passing through the Red Sea. And I hope to show you this morning that each of us also goes to Marah, that Marah is a place in our lives and a place where we need Him of whom the passage speaks, the God who identifies Himself as the Lord who heals His people. God says in verse 26, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And it's at Marah, as Israel encamped there, and Marah, as it's part of our lives, that we see our need for Jehovah Rapha. That's the Hebrew for Jehovah, our healer. And so the theme of this morning's sermon is that name of God, Jehovah, our healer. And I want to emphasize three things about Himself, about Him that are seen here in the passage, that He is our needed healer, that He's our sovereign healer, and finally, that He is our gracious healer, that He's the one who heals us graciously in Jesus Christ, our Savior, and by the work of Jesus Christ. So those three things. As I mentioned a moment ago, this was Israel's first camp in the wilderness. If you look at a map of the area, Israel followed the western side of the Sinai Peninsula, southward along the eastern shore of the Red Sea towards Mount Sinai. That was their first and one of their most important destinations. This was their first camp. They had gone 3 days after crossing the Red Sea, had found their journey through the wilderness to be difficult. There was no water, the Bible tells us, all those 3 days. And when they came to Marah and found water there, the water was undrinkable. It's described in the Word of God as being bitter. And they named the place Marah after those bitter waters. But the shocking thing in the story of Israel's coming to Marah, remember that they were only 3 days from the Red Sea, is the fact that they were already complaining. Chapter 16 records further complaints when they found themselves without food. But here at Marah, they were already complaining about the lack of water, murmuring, the Word of God calls it. And as chapter 16 reminds us, not just murmuring against Moses and Aaron, their leaders, but murmuring against God himself. The Lord heareth your murmurings, Moses says to them in chapter 16, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And the Word of God makes it clear there, and in our passage too, that Israel's sin was no small sin. And you and I can take that too and apply it to ourselves. Murmuring, complaining, grumbling, being discontent is no small sin. It's the sin of Israel, and as the passage we have in front of us this morning indicates, it's not listening to the voice of the Lord our God. It's not doing what's right in His sight. It's not giving ear to His commandments. It's not keeping His statutes. That's verse 26 of Exodus 15. That's why God said to Israel through Moses, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in His sight, and wilt give ear to His commandments, and keep all His statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. He's saying to them, that's what you are doing with your complaining. And in doing it, you are showing that you are no better than the Egyptians, among whom you lived and from whose hands I delivered you. The Egyptians, by those sins, had brought the plagues on themselves. And God says, if you keep my commandments and obey my statutes, then I will not do the same to you. But you're not showing the kind of obedience that I require of you when you murmur and complain about my dealings with you, and do that just 3 days from the Red Sea, where you saw my power, saw my great salvation, saw my loving care for you. How shameful for you to behave this way. But Israel's murmuring, serious sin that it was, showed too their need for Jehovah, the healer of his people. We'll come to that in a moment. But that was their great need. Not water, but healing, spiritual healing. Healing that would recover them from the horrible affliction of their own sinfulness. I am the Lord that healeth thee, that heals your sinfulness. That's what God said to them. Now, I emphasized at the beginning of this morning's sermon that their history is our history, that we too, at one time or another, come to a place that can be called Mara, bitter. In fact, as we make our journey through this world, we come to that place called Mara, not just once, but many times. And we come to it whenever, like Israel, we face trials and struggles and difficulties and problems in our journey, pilgrimage through this world. When we're struggling with illness, dealing with the death of a loved one, struggling with family problems, discouraged, afraid, then from a spiritual point of view, we are at Mara, a place that is as far as our, what the Bible calls our flesh is concerned, a place that is bitter. That's what I was talking about when I said that Israel's history is our history. Mara is a place in our journey through this world to the heavenly land of Canaan. And Mara is that place God uses in verse 25, the word proved. Mara's the place where we face all those bitter experiences of life, and where God, by those experiences, proves us, tests us, tries us, as the Bible says. Some of us hearing that, I'm sure, will say, I've been there. I've been at Mara. And some will probably even say, I'm there now. Right now, in my spiritual journey, I am finding my way through the wilderness of this world, difficult, and am at a place which can very well be called Mara, bitter. My question then is, although we'll come back to that, my question is, if you were at Mara, or if you're there now, did you find there Jehovah, the healer of his people? That's the important thing at Mara. Not just that you recognize the place for what it is, but that you find there the one who says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. But before we talk about that, that's then Israel's need at Mara and our need at Mara. We need Jehovah who heals his people whenever we come in our spiritual journey to the place that's called Mara. It's there especially, that God revealed himself to Israel as their healer. He did that through that wonderful miracle of telling Moses to cut down a small tree that grew there and throw it into the water, by which the waters became drinkable. Those bitter waters became sweet by a miracle that God himself performed. There is no natural explanation for that. There is no tree that you can throw into undrinkable water and make the water drinkable. This was a miracle. But by that miracle, God showed what he does for his people as their healer, their sovereign healer. And there's three things that I want to emphasize. God shows, first of all, in the miracle itself, that he, as the healer of his people, turns those Mara experiences into something that is good for them. He turns the bitter water of Mara into something sweet. Do you understand what I'm saying? What I'm saying is this, that God turns those times of struggle and trial and difficulty as the sovereign God of his people, turns them into something that's for their salvation. Mara is a kind of picture then of what the Word of God says in Romans 8, verse 28, all things work together for good to those who love God. Mara is a picture of what the writer of Psalm 119 says when he admits that it was good for him to have been afflicted, because it was in affliction that he learned to keep God's statutes. That's the first thing that God does as the healer of his people. Turns suffering, affliction, trials, all the struggles of life, uses them sovereignly for the salvation of his people. So that, as the Apostle Paul, through the inspiration of the Spirit, says in 2 Corinthians 4, this light affliction, which is but for a moment, works for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's Jehovah, our healer, at Mara. When you look back on the most unpleasant times of your life, the most difficult times of your life, then perhaps you could see that now. Looking back, you could see that, yes, yes, God did use that sovereignly for my good. Sometimes we don't see that at all. Sometimes it takes many years before we can see that. But whether we see it or not, the truth remains that Jehovah, our healer, turns bitterness to sweetness in making all things work together for our good. That's the lesson of Mara, the first lesson of Mara. But maybe you've been thinking that as I've been talking. God doesn't say to Israel, I'm the healer of the waters. That's not the name he gives himself here. Healer of the waters, or to translate that into New Testament terms and into terms that we understand, I'm the healer of your trials and struggles. But he says, I am your healer. And that points us to something even more important than the fact that God uses our trials, temptations, struggles, difficulties for our good. It points to the fact that at Mara, when Israel was there, when we're there, the real problem is not with the water and its bitterness. But the real problem is here. It wasn't at Mara when Israel was there so much the waters that needed healing, though God healed them. But the hearts of those murmuring and complaining and discontented Israelites. That was where healing was needed most of all. Spiritual healing. The healing of hearts that in 3 days had forgotten what God did for them at the Red Sea. The healing of hearts that could so quickly forget that wonderful display of God's power and grace at the Red Sea. The healing of hearts that instead of trusting that God who had brought them through the Red Sea would take care of them and provide for them in the wilderness, were immediately complaining about the difficulties of their earthly way. And I think you see the application to us when we're struggling with trials and temptations and all the difficulties of life, then what needs healing? Although God does that too, when He turns all those trials to our good, what needs healing is not so much the trials themselves as my heart, my sinful heart, and your sinful heart. That heart that is immediately discontented with God's ways, so often questioning, afraid, discouraged, complaining about the difficulties of the way, this or that, until it sometimes seems as though a good part of that journey through the wilderness is filled with the sound of murmuring. And we have to remember, of course, what I read earlier from chapter 16. The Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against Him. They're not against us, but against the Lord. Have to remember verse 26. We're not hearkening to the voice of the Lord our God when we complain and are discontented. Not doing that which is right in His sight. Not giving ear to His commandments. Not keeping all His statutes. But acting like the Egyptians. Showing ourselves at least for what we are by nature as being equally worthy of the plagues that came on them, showing how sinful, disobedient we are. And that needs to be emphasized, too, in connection with the whole history of Israel's wilderness wanderings. We tend, when we read that history, to shake our heads at those horrible people who weren't even finished with their murmuring at Marah, but a few days later were complaining about a lack of bread. Chapter 16. That's us. But almost automatically, we react to the circumstances of life with unhappiness, complaints, questioning of God Himself, because that's really what Israel was doing. Why did you bring us to this place? Why are you leading us in this way? Why? Why did you make my life so hard? And then, too, with the attitude, I can't possibly be happy. Can't possibly worship as I ought. Can't possibly go about my business if this is the way in which you lead me. It's to us then, as well as to the Israelites, these murmuring Israelites, that God says, I am Jehovah, your healer. The only one who can heal your dissatisfied, discontented, unhappy, questioning hearts. Which I not only can heal, but will heal as I heal the waters. So there's that, but then there's this too. Part of the lesson at Mara, God is saying to the Israelites and to us, I will heal your sin. And I will heal them exactly by making your way difficult. Here's the reason for Mara and for the wilderness of sin and for Rephidim and Sinai and Kibroth, and Kadesh, and the wilderness of Edom, and the plains of Moab. Here's the reason for all the difficulties that you face. That's the way that I heal your sinful hearts. Not by giving you a pat on the back, but by making your way as difficult as I possibly can. Only then will you learn to say what David says in Psalm 119, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn thy statutes. Only then will Romans 8, verse 28 become a living reality to you, so that you say, all things work together for my good, as one who loves God and who is so amazingly and graciously loved by Him. You see that? Jehovah, our healer, heals our trials by making all things work together for our good. More importantly, He's our healer as the one who heals our hearts so that we can face those trials without complaining and keep His commandments and walk in His ways and hearken to His voice. And he uses our trials to accomplish that healing of our hearts. That's the way in which all things work together for our good. Sovereign healer indeed. You sit here now for a moment, my friends, and you think of the trials that you are going through in that light. Whatever's troubling you, whatever difficulties you face that tempt you to murmur and complain and question and all of the rest, and then you'll understand why God said to Israel in the wilderness, I am the Lord that healeth thee. And healeth thee so that I don't need to put the diseases upon you which I brought upon the Egyptians. That's Jehovah, our sovereign healer. And in revealing himself to Israel and to us as the God who heals us, he shows us, if I may put it that way, the face of Christ. That's the point at which Christ becomes part of this story, even though he's not mentioned by name here. There are those who find Christ in that tree that Moses threw in the waters, and it's tempting to make that connection. But I don't think Scripture gives us warrant for that, to identify the tree with the tree on which our Lord was crucified. That very name, Jehovah Healer, is the name of our Savior. Isn't it? Really the same as that name, Jesus. Jehovah saves. Or if you prefer something closer to that name, Jehovah Healer, then think of our Savior as the great physician who by his death on the cross and by the work of his Spirit heals both the guilt and the pollution of our sins, so that when we appear before God, we appear before him whole, wholly healed by that wonderful grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There were Israelites, I'm sure, who never thought of Christ in all of this, never recognized in that name that God gave himself, a name of Messiah for whom they were waiting. But there must have been those, like Abraham, of whom Jesus said, your father Abraham saw my day and was glad. saw in the words that God spoke to them the promise of Christ's coming and of how he would heal them forever of the horrible affliction of their sin and sinfulness. And so must we. This is the same story. I trust you understand that, my dear fellow believers. This is the same story that's told in all the miracles of the great physician. It wasn't the healing of lepers and of blindness and lameness that mattered so much as the picture they made of the spiritual healing that Jesus our Savior brings. I will heal all thy diseases. Remember Psalm 103? That's the story of Mara. That's the story, too, of our Savior's miracles. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Mara. Some of you, as I said, have been there. Some of you are there. Did you find there Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah our healer? And when you went on from Mara, if you have, when you went on from Mara, did you go on from Mara from those trials, from that proving, as those who recognize the need for those trials? Which is the same as the need for your own spiritual healing. And go on through those trials and through that suffering. Healed and being healed? Not of earthly afflictions, but of that greatest of all infirmities, your sin, especially the sin of murmuring. And go on to it, the hope that Jehovah your healer, because that's who he is. Story of Israel's wilderness wanderings is not so much the story of a sinful and rebellious people, as it is of a God who heals his people. And who heals them until finally they appear before him without spot, without wrinkle, in the company of the elect, in life eternal. Mara is nothing. Being at Mara is nothing if you don't find Jehovah your healer there. God grant it.